Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everyone. It's Monday, August 13th, and boy, it is a scorcher here in Southern California. So I know we have a number of listeners on radio today, but it is definitely the summer months. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host this morning, and with us today, our very own leading lady is none other than Betty Moore, who is the owner of Bottom Line Management. Betty, are you with us this morning?
I am.
And are you in the heat zone somewhere in something, you know, you're in Carlsbad in Southern California, so is it warm where you're at yet?
It's very warm already.
We are total, I'm going to say it on the radio, we are total leaners here in California, boy. We just don't like that humidity factor. We can handle the heat, but not the humidity.
That's right.
Well, listen, I'm excited to have you on the show today because, you know, the title of our show is The Bottom Line to Beans and Numbers. And I know you just, you know, when I talk to you and we've met, you like get all excited about numbers, which I know if you ask any small business owner, their eyes kind of glaze over when they start talking about their books and their records. Am I right?
That's true.
That is, I mean, that's why you do what you do. But I got to ask, I mean, how, you know, what is your corporate background? You know, we've talked, but how did you kind of get into doing QuickBooks and, you know, setup and accounting and bookkeeping for small businesses? How did you get into this business?
Well, back when I was out of high school and doing jobs and getting out of college, I always did administrative work, and it always included anything that had to do with a little bit of accounting. And I took to math very easily in school, and so I knew I wanted to do something that had to do with math or numbers or anything related to that side.
I love that. And did you, I mean, always kind of think that it's like you would be your own small business, or, you know, did you really kind of like think you'd work for somebody else, or did you work for somebody else before you got into running your own business?
I did work for somebody else. I always worked, I was very loyal to my employers, and I always worked very long term with them until either the job ended or I moved on to something else or, graduated college. But I worked for several people, and actually I never would have thought I would have started my own business until I was laid off, which was kind of a shock to me, because I would have stayed at that company till the end, but it happens, and that's what you do, and you got to move forward. And so I'm kind of grateful that that happened to me, because then it enabled me to jump out on my own.
You know, it's funny because, well, that's very timely because, you know, we know what the job market is right now for people looking for jobs. And it's like there is, you know, I mean, it's just so disheartening to know that you've been laid off, or it's like, you know, you don't have a position anymore. But boy, I had the same thing happen to me in 1991, and it was like one of the best things that ever happened to me, even though I know I've worked harder than I've ever worked in my entire life. But, you know, do you kind of, you look back on that and go, man, it's like not at the time, but now what a gift, because you can be independent and on your own and doing your own thing.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's kind of like a godsend, and I believe in fate all the time, and so there was a reason why that needed to happen. And although it was kind of sad at that point, but it kind of made me step out of the box and think about, like, okay, where do I want to go from here? Do I want to stay in that same industry, which was recruiting, or do I want to do something else and, you know, just go get hired by somebody else? I never even thought that I could have a business, start a business, what it would cost to start a business, or, you know, did I have skills to start a business? But I did, and I'm very, very grateful to that company who let me go.
That's cute. Well, and I'm kind of curious, because how long have you been in business now? I mean, quite a while, correct?
Just over 10 years, November.
Yeah, just over. Just a tiny 10 years. Tiny. That's long term, girl. And I got to say, it's like, you know, the longer we're in business, it's like I always kind of tell this to myself. I go, boy, I know stuff in business, but the longer I'm in business, the more I realize how much I don't know. And I'm kind of curious from your perspective, what's maybe a couple of things that have just been, I don't know, you know, a huge aha about what it takes to run a small business that maybe you didn't think of when you first started out? Any couple of thoughts you'd want to share with our listeners?
You know, it's just been me, myself, and I, the whole, you know, pretty much almost the whole time. I have had employees, and recently I had an employee, so that's kind of an eye-opener as to, one, how to manage somebody, two, how to, you know, who to hire. I mean, I used to be a recruiter, so I thought I knew how to hire people, but when it's for yourself, it's, you know, it's definitely an eye-opener, and you learn a lot from it, and I'm the hands-off kind of a manager, so as long as they know what they're doing, they get trained, as, you know, as much as they can, I give them all the tools, then I just want them to kind of just go off on their own, and you know, I'll be there to answer any questions, but I kind of want to give people their opportunity to grow and learn, so.
It's a tough spot in hiring. I mean, I know I want to talk about numbers and bookkeeping with you and kind of some of the things that you see with small businesses that you work with, but, you know, the hiring thing is a big deal because, I mean, as much as you think it's, you know, and you said you were a recruiter, but I used to be in banking and I managed, you know, hundreds of people, and I always find it fascinating that it's like everybody's just wired differently, and as much as you think you've got it all, like you just, I mean, do you mind sharing your recent hiring experience that was just a kind of a shock, wasn't it?
A little bit of a shock, and, you know, the work that I do right now, I mean, I've got a lot of work. I've got enough work for myself to do, and there's only so much time in the day, and my whole goal is to turn the work around as quickly as possible to the client so that way they can get their information that they need in order to continue to run their business. So with that, I need to delegate some of it out, and then in hiring somebody and trying to, you know, I thought I was giving all the information out and maybe I didn't explain it well enough. And, you know, I hired somebody that was really had a lot of great skills, didn't know any accounting, but had a lot of great skills and was very trainable. But I think there was other factors that just were involved that I didn't probably really open my eyes to look at that caused the end of it, you know, 2.5 years later. But there you go. That's a learning experience.
Well, and it's tough. I mean, I'm kind of curious for the people that are listening that are small business owners. It's like what kind of like takeaway did you get that now what will you do differently? I mean, do you feel like you're a little more tainted, a little more cautious about when you bring somebody on? Because that's kind of how I would take it. I'd be like, oh, man, you know, we earn our stripes. But, you know, what will you do differently as you bring on somebody now again?
I think I will ask fewer questions and listen more to exactly, or just listen more to what they're saying and then just kind of read into that as to really where they're coming from. Especially now, I mean, back when I was laid off, it was at a whole different time. So now when people are looking for jobs, they really, I think everyone's just trying to get something and they'll say whatever they can in the interview. You really have to, you know, it doesn't even matter if you screen them or not. They could still be a good person, but people are just trying to survive right now. They're just trying to get out there. They're just trying to get somewhere. And I think I really need to just let them do more talking in the interview process and really listen to where they're coming from and then just try to find the red flags or hear the red flags.
No, that's a really good perspective because it's like, I mean, I used to have that because I only hired part-timers, you know, with the corporate basket. And it's like I used to sit there and think, it's like, gosh, you know, you're looking for – this was not in the job, you know, market that we have now, which I just think I agree with you. People will tell you what they think you want to hear. It's like, oh, yes, this will be the best thing since sliced bread. I'm on board. You know, I'll do anything you want. And it's like, you know, in the back of my mind, I'd be thinking, ooh, okay, it's part-time. You know, is this going to be just a jumping stone for you that you'll get here and then when the next one comes along, you're moving on? And that's a hard – you know, that's a hard thing to do because you want to get them in. But, you know, for small businesses, you want kind of longer-term employees. It's not like a big company where you can churn and burn and train them and, you know, they're on their way to the next position. It's a tough thing with turnover, right?
It is. And, again, it's like I've been doing this pretty much all by myself for the majority of the 10 years. And so the setup, I think, you know, the setup of having somebody else there and what they're going to do, you know, I take the responsibility there that I needed to have everything set up, but I was also still kind of figuring out what I wanted the other person to do. I knew I needed help, but I just, you know, I needed somebody to help take on some of the load of the work that I have, but I didn't have it all sorted out. And so this, you know, this particular person actually kind of helped me get that going through. And then now that she's left, then now I've already got all the everything ready for the next person and a little bit better definition of really what I'm looking for and really what will fit in there.
Yep.
So now I think I will fine-tune it. Hopefully get the best.
It'll be perfect, this wrap.
Yes, it will be.
It'll never be perfect, girl. It'll never be perfect. Well, okay, I'm going to shift gears because I know really what I want, but thank you for sharing that because I think any of the kind of like lessons learned that we have as small business owners of what to do differently the next time around, because there is, you know, as much as there's rule books on how to run a small business, I think one of the most valuable things I've ever learned by being a small business owner is just to interact with other business owners, and I learn from them. Like, you know, what you've experienced, it's like, yeah, you want to duplicate yourself, but boy, you know, some of the little pieces that you had with this lady, because she was a delight. I met her. I mean, I met the girl that was on board with you. We all fell in love with her when you brought her to a meeting. And yet, my gosh, then she's gone. So, the checklist of things we can learn. So let me shift to numbers because, you know, I know that excites you. And it's like most people, like I said, their eyes start to glaze over. But I want to ask you, I mean, what is it? I mean, why do you, you know, something floats your boat on numbers. So what is it that you love about doing books and accounting for businesses? I mean, I just want to know, why do you love this? Because so many people don't. So you're an anomaly.
Well, one, numbers, math, anything that has to do with math always, again, came easy to me in my brain. And so it was, you know, math is, it's black and white. It's, you know, 2 + 2 only equals 4. There is no gray. So I work really well with that. And, again, it came easy to me at a younger age. So, a lot of people, they're like, I don't even know what numbers are. I know what my business is. I know how much we're making, but I don't know how to do all this other stuff. And you're right. They just kind of go, I don't even want to touch it. I don't even want to know anything about it. And for me, it's a puzzle every single time. So each client is completely different than the next client. They could all be in the same industry, but each little package of books that they bring is completely different than the next because everybody has a different amount of money. Everybody has a different way that they run their business. And I can put the puzzle together every single time. And that right there is the excitement, the challenge, and to, you know, bring it down to the penny and everything balances is a little accomplishment every single day with each person's books that I work on. And it brings me fulfillment and enjoyment.
You do. It's good. This is good. I'm kind of curious. I mean, do you kind of see, I mean, this is what I used to see with small businesses is that so many of them don't understand how to even read what's in their financial statements. I mean, they look at the checkbook and they think, well, how much I have in the bank tells me how well I'm doing. And there's so much more to that. So how do you, you know, do you get in there and do some consulting with businesses about, hey, here's an area you want to be careful of with receivables or, you know, how do you get in there and kind of alert a business or do you do that? Do you kind of help them with reading and gleaning some information from their financial records?
I do a little bit, you know, I'm pretty detail-oriented, so I make it very simple and very easy for somebody to read. And I put enough detail in there. I mean, and that's just the way that I do it. Every bookkeeper is different. But I like to make it very self-explanatory, so that way, you know, when I put something, you know, when I expense something, I mean, I'm doing it correctly as far as, you know, accounting principles, et cetera. But as far as the detail that I put in there, you can make your chart of accounts very simple and generic, or you can make it a little bit more specific, and depending on the industry, sometimes that helps. And in the long run, besides the business owner reading the financials, in the long run, the CPA has to file the return, and I probably, hopefully, save a lot of time for them because it's all right there in black and white, and they don't need to ask a lot of questions or dig for more documents, and it really saves everybody a lot of time and money at the end of the year where they're trying to finalize everything and close their books. And that's just something, you know, I just do that because I do that. And that's just me. I've always been detail oriented. I've always been like to have everything right there. And, you know, it is what it is. It's like, I don't hide anything. I don't sugarcoat it. I just, you know, those are the facts. That's what you guys did. Those are the transactions. And I've got to report it in the best way possible.
Well, I think that's where, I mean, once owners of businesses start to understand the value of what they can read from their financial performance is huge to a business. I mean, especially growing businesses. But what are maybe a couple of things that you see, you know, when a client first comes to you, it's like, what's kind of a standard, you know, issue or problem that you see most people, come to you with? Is it just keeping up the books or what are you know, a couple of things that you see that you can maybe share with our listeners of what to be aware of if you're a small business and, you know, you're thinking that you're doing it yourself with your books and records, but, you know, danger, danger, watch out.
Right. There's a lot of people that come in, and especially if they've been doing it themselves, because, you know, when they started out, it's sure, it's small, but they don't realize everything that goes in with setting up their business. So they're taking all their time setting up their business, and a lot of the times the books goes to, you know, falls in the back burner. And then when they got to catch up to it, it's like, oh, I don't remember when I did that. They don't set up their bank account right away, so then they're commingling their funds. And, you know, as long as they explain it enough to me, then I can go pull the information from wherever it needs to come from. But I think it's in the very beginning if somebody's going to set up a small business. And, again, they think they can do it, but then life happens. You go home, you finish your day, you've got, you know, your family, you've got to make dinner, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's like, oh, that's right, my book. And the next thing you know, 3 months have passed. And it's hard to kind of remember back what happened, and or did you keep your receipts? And some people are detail oriented. Some people don't care about all that stuff. They just, you know, they figure, well, it's on the bank statement, but it isn't. And so keeping records is very, very, very important, and that also helps me do my job better for them if I've got all the required documents, receipts, information. And then if you want to shred it, throw it away or whatever, that's fine, but let's get the books in first, and then you can, you know, toss it, because a lot of people don't like the piece of paper. I'm like, I agree with you, so let's record it and then toss the piece of paper afterwards. At least we've got it down somewhere. So
no, that's good advice. And, you know, I mean, what's interesting to me is I think, gosh, you know, I mean, how things have changed, that it used to be, you know, the bookkeeper, quote unquote, right? The bean counter would come to the place of business, you know, and actually butt in chair, excuse me for being so graphic, but butt in chair, and they would sit there and do the work. And it's like you, I mean, how much of your clients, most of yours is remote, I would imagine, isn't it? Where it's like you work in and log into their companies, or how do you, what's kind of the difference between those that you go to and those that, you know, get you their information, you work remotely?
Well, I customize my services to whatever the client's needs are. So depending on how they are set up, I will recommend the best way. So if I have to go to them, and if that's the best way for both of us saving time and money, then I'll do that. But generally, probably less than one third of my clients, I actually travel to their office or their business site and do the work there. There has to be enough volume for me to be able to drive out there and do the work. If they only got 1 hour's worth of work per month, it's not really going to be worth it for either one of us, and I'm going to take up their computer at that point. So, you know, with technology now, you can dial in, you can do remote, you can use a lot of different avenues to get in there. And a lot of people don't have QuickBooks on their own, and they don't need to have it. They just want to see the actual financials. So that kind of helps, because then I can just do that from my office as well. But I can get a lot more done when I'm sitting in one spot than traveling around, and, you know, I can't be in three places at once, and so trying to multitask and take care of everybody, but also, you know, work solid on one client and get their work done, I kind of have to just stay in my office and be able to focus there, and then I can get a lot more done in a shorter period of time.
Love it. And I'm kind of, you know, I always say kind of like on the extremes of the most interesting thing you've ever seen, but what's the dumbest thing you've ever seen somebody do with their books and records? I'm curious. It's like, really? Kind of like, really? That's what you did? Any story on that one?
Probably just never set up a bank account. You know, they're so busy setting up the business that, you know, they forget about the business bank account, and then it's just coming from everywhere. And then again, they wait too long to decide, you know, once, you know, come to the year end, and then their accountant's like, we don't want this box of receipts. You need to go see a bookkeeper first, or it's going to cost a lot of money, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, you know, a lot of people have a little bit of procrastination in them. So, when they bring that box of receipts and they're like, oh no. And they're like, wait, I don't even have all my receipts. And now I got to go dig through everything. And now I got to remember it in my head, 12 months worth of data, you know, they kind of learn from there, and then, you know, you just got to do your best with the information that you have. But I think everybody just, they need to concentrate on their business, and really they need to realize that it doesn't save them any money to either have the wife do it at home or for them to do it, because as their business grows, they need to spend the time on growing their business and not working in it. And so they need to outsource certain stuff, and it really does save them time at the end. So.
And, you know, I got to say, the one thing I say, because when I teach people how to start small businesses, is I will say, my goodness, it's like of all the things you're going to do, unless you love numbers and feel like you can keep a handle on it, you know, because you're right, most of us do have a procrastination factor in us. And on top of it, most entrepreneurs don't want to do the books, but, you know, to keep up on it, what I always, you know, tell a story of is this is what I would see as a banker, is I would see clients of mine who were looking for financing. They would come in and we'd be like, okay, we need your most up-to-date tax returns. And they're like, oh, I haven't done them yet. You know, it's past the window or it's within when they have filed an extension. But, you know, so many businesses will show up with the proverbial photocopy box, or I like the visual of a U-Haul driving up to the bookkeeper's door, bringing in all their stuff and go, please tell me how I did last year. I mean, talk about a bad way to do business, right? It needs to be a little more timely on that.
Right, it is. And I can, it's like, you know, part of my services are helping somebody get organized now. Not every person that walks through the door is starting a brand new business today. Some of them have already been in business and, you know, and they've kind of already gone past that step. But if I can, you know, offer any assistance in the way that things are done, and I don't try to take something away from somebody, if they really want to do it themselves, it's like, go for it. But then they'll realize that, you know what, I might as well just have you do it all. And it's like, they go, it will be a lot simpler and easier if there's only one hand, you know, one set of hands in the books. And it just, it really does help them, like if they need to get a loan later on or if they're trying to prepare their return at the end of the year. And
yeah.
And people just need to, they just need to let go and delegate. It's just like, I can't fix my computer on my own, so I need to call somebody to do that. Why am I going to try to spend the time on that?
No, that's a great analogy. It is, because, I mean, you want to turn it on and have it go. It's like you want to look at your books and records and look for the areas
right.
that are hot buttons in your business. So I love that. I mean, tell me this. It's like as far as how you do, you know, because to me, all right, you do the same thing. You do what another bookkeeper would do. So how do you, I mean, as a business owner, I want to, you know, kind of, I know you do good business. I know you've been around a long time. You're very well respected in Carlsbad and, you know, have a great reputation. I wonder, though, it's like, how do you position yourself? Because you've got a beautiful website. By the way, do you mind sharing so everybody can go look at your website? It's on the link for the show notice. But what is, if people want to contact you, Betty, what is your contact information? Can you share that with our listeners?
Absolutely. My website is www.bottomlinemanagement.org, that is O-R-G, and it's all spelled out. It's kind of long, but once you type it in there, it seems easy. Bottom line, bottomlinemanagement.org, and then there I am. It'll give a little bit of the background, tell you all the different services I have, and show you our location of where we're at. And
I'm assuming they don't have to be local, right? You can deal with businesses out of the area, that kind of thing?
Yeah, no. The majority of my clients are in North County, but I can take care of somebody that's in, you know, San Diego or another county, again, with all the remote information, and you can get your banking online, et cetera, et cetera. I don't need to see every single piece of paper that happens, but, you know, with today's technology and all that sort of stuff, you can get information to anybody in any area, so... I'm open to other counties.
You might get some phone calls, girl, or some email requests. And, I mean, the whole branding thing, you know, I mean, I got to tell you my story with looking at bookkeepers and, you know, folks that I see that are even, you know, lawyers. It's like there's now the whole big thing is branding, you know, and I think you've done a great job on your website to position yourself and show you as an expert, which you are, but I think it's very telling that it fits you and your personality on your website. How did you go about that process? Because so many, like, bookkeepers and accounting folks or, you know, specialists in QuickBooks, it's like they just, you know, there's no brand there. I mean, do you feel a brand is important to you? I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, absolutely. My first company name was Betty's Bookkeeping Service. And that was because I was just starting out and I didn't think about it. You know, I just wanted to get going because I was, you know, I needed to find another career. And so that's where it started. But I came across in all of my business dealings, I came across a lady who several years back, probably back in 2005 or 2006, who does that. She does branding. She does graphics. She does websites. And she really helped me a lot as far as picking an image, picking, you know, colors. You know, everything is very, very important down to the font that you use in the name of your business. And just everything needed to come across a certain way. And that reflects. So when somebody meets me, it kind of all matches. And one of your questions before was, you know, how do I distinguish myself amongst the other bookkeepers or accountants in town? And I don't know all of them, but again, we all do the same stuff. And I think just the difference that anybody can do is it's that intangible. It's the customer service that you provide to your clients. It's that first initial phone call when they're calling in. And so it's that first impression, as well as when they meet me. I mean, I encourage everybody to come and sit down in my office and meet me for 15, 20 minutes. And somebody that's going to take care of your books or look into your financial information and kind of like uncover all of your stuff, it's kind of scary at first. But if you trust that person and if you get that feeling from them in that first initial interview, right there, right then and there, I think it's, you know, it's a good business relationship. And that's very important. People want to just get the rate over the phone. It's like, how much do you charge? It's like, well, it doesn't really work that way. You really need to come in here and meet with me. And, you know, I'm not selling something that, you know, I'm not selling widgets for a dollar, so I can't just give you the price over the phone. There's a lot more intel than that. And, you know, probably 98% of the people understand it and they come in, and the other 2% just want a price. So,
and I'm curious
what I pass on.
I think that's good advice because, I mean, I do see that, you know, most CPAs don't, I mean, a lot of them do now. It's like, I think that's the big thing is, you know, you have a brand, you have a distinguishing look. But, you know, with your long-term clients that have stuck around, what do you think is, you know, the reason that they keep working with you again and again? I'm kind of curious, as you grow with the business or they grow with, you know, you, as they grow their business, why do you think, you know, is the distinguishing factor of why they continue to stay with you?
I mean, in my perspective, I've never actually asked or surveyed anybody, but in my perspective, I think they stick with me, one, because I'm very loyal to them. I take care of any needs that they have at, you know, at the quickest amount of time that I can. As well as I think it's the trust factor. When they meet me, and you know, I'm very personable, so working with me is very easy, and then they can trust me with all of their information, and I'm not going to say anything to anybody else. It all stays between me and the client, and it doesn't go anywhere from there. And I was on LinkedIn, my LinkedIn site, and I clicked on a button. I don't even know how the site works, but I clicked on a button and it asked all of my list of friends, colleagues, et cetera, it asked them to recommend me. And then in reading those, as they came back in, there was kind of like a common denominator of that very trustworthy and professional and just very, you know, love what I do and conscientious about getting it done right. So my whole motto or my whole work ethic is to make sure that it's done right, and if I don't, you know, otherwise it doesn't go out the door. It has to be exact or it's not going to have my name stamped on it.
Yeah, but I always knew you were smarter than the average bear because, like, you brought up something I think is just, I mean, to me, the reason that, you know, when people say to you, why should I choose you versus all the other choices? And it's like, you know, one of my favorite phrases is it's like, I'll come back and I'll go, I could tell you why, but I'd rather tell you what other people say, why they do business with me. And that's what you were saying. You found the common denominator on LinkedIn, the trustworthy part. And I think that's a big one because so many people are hesitant to come to to go to a bookkeeper because they're either, you know, freaked out over what their numbers will show or don't show, or they're not making enough or whatever. And it's such a personal relationship with the person that does your books. I mean, I could see that trustworthy is a huge factor. So kudos to you, girl.
Yay!
And I love it. We're on the downhill slide, but maybe, you know, can you kind of wrap up for me and tell me maybe two things that, you know, would be maybe advice that you would give to existing businesses as they look at their books and decide whether they want to keep doing it themselves or outsource their bookkeeping? What should they, you know, consider in trying to find a good provider and you? So what should somebody look for?
In a bookkeeping service or if they should?
Yes. In service, if they're shopping around or even thinking, maybe they're doing it in-house or an existing business. We talked about startups, but for existing businesses, if they're still struggling with their books, I mean, what advice would you give them and how should somebody go about selecting a bookkeeper? I know trust is good with you, but what should they look for as they seek to find the right relationship with a bookkeeper or an accounting person?
I think first and foremost, when they're making that first initial phone call, they need to how the phone is answered and just that whole first few minutes on the phone, if they actually get to speak to the person doing the books, you know, the accounting person, and then absolutely make an appointment to go see them. Because if you walk into their office, one, do they do it at home or do they do it at an office? Now, I've done both, and I can understand if somebody is like, well, she does it in her home. Is she in the back of the garage or what? And so you kind of wonder and you lose a little bit of, I don't know if it's professionalism or you're like, is this something that she does on the side or is she really serious about this? So absolutely make an appointment with that person. Go to their office, see what the surroundings are, see if their office is a mess or if it's organized or if it's, you know, just dialed in. I mean, that right there, in my opinion, is, you know, if everything else is in order, then your books are going to be in order, and the way that they do your books are going to be in order, you know, because they can still put the right figures in. Anybody can reconcile a bank statement, but really, are they putting everything in the right location on the chart of accounts? Are they, you know, is everything going to be in the right spot? Are you going
right.
to... stress at the financials that they do at the end of the year. So you really got to go in there. You've got to see them face-to-face. They spend that 15, 20 minutes, half an hour with them. You're going to get a feeling, I mean, intuition. You're just going to know whether that person is on the up and up or not, or if they've been in business for a decent amount of time. And again, that right there is, you know, just that, I think just that intangible right there is going to tell you a little bit about the person and their personality and how well they're going to take care of you, because really it's like you don't have time to bounce around from one to the next. To the next, because you want that consistency in your financials. Otherwise, there's going to be more questions at the end of the year. The second thing I would say is that small business or anybody that's going to outsource to an accounting company or bookkeeping service, they need to throw the price rate out of their head and not worry about that as much, because it is what it is. Everyone's going to charge around the same. If you're in North County, the average rate is going to be, gosh, anywhere from $35, $50 an hour on up to maybe almost $100 or $85. You know, it just kind of depends.
Right.
I wouldn't worry about that as much, because what you're going to get is going to be worth the price that you pay. And again, if you pick somebody cheap, cheap and good don't go together. So there's your story.
Good advice, girl. And can you believe it? We're at the end of our show. So, Betty, I want to say thank you for being with us. You gave some great insight. And it's like, you know, I want to say to our listeners, I hope you enjoyed the show today. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host. Next Monday, we will have our Women Leading the Way radio show, where we will be talking to Susan Bolsky, who is the owner of Anything Goes Promotion. And we are talking to her about the idea of partnerships and all that comes with that as running a small business. So again, thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next Monday morning, and you have a great week.
Thank you very much.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.